wherever the anointing is, whenever that empowerment is, the word anointing on the surface is this idea or thought to be smeared with. Many references in the Old Testament talks about the anointing as oil or grease. It's something that you smear on someone. It's tangible. At times it can be weighty. You've heard people talk about the presence of God and the anointing that was in the room or in the place, and how the anointing was able to be felt. The anointing was able to be sensed. The anointing was able to be touched. And there's a sense of rubbing up against someone. There's a sense of feeling and experiencing that weight, that smearing, that rubbing up against on someone. It is an empowerment by God. It is an equipping by God to do something, to change something, to change a situation, to change a circumstance, to change a entity, to change a organization. So one of the things that you want to be cognizant of in this time and in this season is, where does the anointing flow when I'm doing it? Where do I sense the anointing flowing? And wherever you see the anointing flowing regularly, consistently, when you're doing it, that can give you a glimpse into what God has called you to do. If you sense the anointing flowing when you're administrating, when you're organizing, when you're putting things in the place, and that anointing is flowing, when someone is anointed to do something, someone is gifted at something, they do it at its highest. They do it at its best. There are few people who probably can do it as well as they can. Why? Because they're gifted to do it. When you're gifted to do something, you really talk about what it is you're best at. What do you excel in? What are you in the top 5% of doing? What can you do that really no one else can do better than you? Or there are few people who do it as well as you do it. Where do you sense people being touched? Where do you sense lives being changed? Where do you sense families and structures and organizations advancing because you are in the flow? Being cognizant of where the anointing is flowing when you're doing it can give you a glimpse into what God has called you to do and what your assignment is. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of the fatness. Now this word fatness in the Hebrew correlates as sort of a root word for the word anointing that we see in the Greek in the New Testament. So when we see the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, when we read 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 and verse 27, we see those words anointing. When you go back and you look at the original definitions behind them, each of them relate to each other. One of them is the root for another. And again, this concept of fatness is the same concept behind anointing. As a matter of fact, in some translations, I'm reading in the New American Standard right now, so it's translated fatness, but in some translations, they actually translated anointing. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. So there's the same concept behind fatness and anointing, and it's this concept of oil or smearing or endowing with. But the anointing, the fatness, is what destroys the yoke. It's what removes the burden. And a lot of times, we think about the anointing solely when it comes to an act, a certain thing. So anointed, lay hands on the sick and they recover. That is an event. That is an act. The anointing was there. The anointing flowed through me. I laid hands on the sick. They recovered. The anointing was upon me. Someone was dead, and God used me. The anointing flowed through me and raised that person from the dead. That is an action. That is an act. That is an event. And many times we isolate the anointing for events. We isolate the anointing for acts, and that is definitely true. We see Jesus say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to do certain things." But you can also be anointed for an assignment. You can also be anointed for a role. And that is an area of thought, a mindset that God is wanting to get into us, into our churches, into our businesses, and into our families, in terms of these words that I'm hearing in my spirit around rearranging, repositioning, shifting, positioning people in the right places, is this thought that I'm anointed for a role. Not just anointed for an act, but anointed for a role. Not just anointed for an event, but anointed for an assignment. And the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. The burden is removed because of the anointing. Now, if you're a leader in any capacity, family, church, business, if you're a leader and there is something that's not of God in that business, and when I say not of God, I don't necessarily mean evil, but something where that business, that church, that family is not aligned with the best that God has. It's not aligned with life and that life more abundantly. When you have the right people anointed for the assignment in that role, yokes get destroyed in that church. So if there's confusion in the church, if there's confusion in a team or a department in a church, and you've got someone assigned there who's anointed to lead that team, you've got someone in the church that's anointed and assigned to that area where there's been confusion because you've got someone anointed in that role, guess what? The yoke is destroyed. The confusion is gone. Why? Because they're anointed to be there. They're anointed to help remove that confusion from that team in that church. If you've got a business and there is just chaos in that business, things are unorganized, things are not structured properly, you want someone who's anointed for that role, because God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of order, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us. So anywhere there's chaos is not God. Anywhere there's chaos is not life and that life more abundantly. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, we see God remove chaos. The earth became void. And we see God restructuring things the way that they're supposed to be structured. And so there's this thought, when you've got people that are anointed for a role, you've got people that are anointed for a position, and there's been chaos there because you've got someone who's anointed operating in that role, operating in that position, that chaos, that yoke gets destroyed because of the anointing. It's not just an act anymore. It's not just an event. It's now the church being able to move forward. It's now the business being able to move forward. It's now the family being able to move forward because we've got people anointed for those assignments in those institutions that are removing regularly, consistently the yoke and regularly removing the burden. Sometimes there's stagnancy that comes in a church. There can be stagnancy that comes with a business, Well, Brian, what do you mean by stagnant? The wheels are just turning, turning, turning. A lot of activity, but no movement. A lot of activity, but no progression. Now, this can be in institutions and it can be in our personal life. A lot of activity, but no movement. The anointing comes to destroy that yoke and remove that burden. And so sometimes the value for a organization, for a church, a business, a family. Brian, why do you keep mentioning those three? Because the anointing is not limited to the church. It's not limited to the four walls of the church. Right. It's God's intent that the anointing be in these spheres of influence. And so when God's anointed and God's anointed ones are in these positions, are in these spheres of influence, then these spheres begin to be redeemed. They begin to come under the order of God. They begin to come under kingdom rule and kingdom principles because you've got people assigned to be there, people who were supposed to be there. It's so important. It's so vital. And so businesses and corporations that can move into the order of God, even if they don't acknowledge God in it yet. Even if Romans tells us in chapter 1 that they worship the created thing rather than the creator, and although they knew of God, they did not acknowledge God or exalt him as God. So it is possible, and we see this with people who have talent on loan from God, right, who execute in that talent, but don't give God the glory for that talent. Yep. The talent, or don't glorify God in that talent. The talent comes from God, but they may not glorify God in it. But God can still reach them and redeem the way they're using that talent. So in corporations and in businesses, when you have people who are exalting God, who are anointed by God, who are anointed by the Spirit of God in those roles and in those positions, then that business, that corporation begins to start to look like kingdom. Even if some of the leadership in that business don't know what to call it, it starts to look like kingdom. It starts to look like the divine order that God intended. Now, it's one thing for people to be born again, and that's very important. It's one thing for lives to be changed and people to be born again. It's another thing for nations and businesses to start to mimic and look like the kingdom of God. So it's possible for people to get born again, but the business, the corporation, does not mimic the order, the productivity, the virtue, the morality of God. People in the organization may be getting born again, but the focus, the vision, the processes, the methods, the means, the way the business operates, that doesn't get changed. When you have anointed people and positioned at businesses, then those things, the methods, the operations, the intentions, the focus, the morality, how the business approaches things, those things begin to be changed when you have anointed, godly, spirit-filled people in those roles and in those positions. It goes to another level when you're actually the one who owns the business. And you're bringing in people that are anointed of God to execute on certain facets and factors of the business. That's when your business really starts to go where God intended it to go. Not where selfish flesh intended for it to go, but where God intended it to go, because you have people who are anointed and assigned to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that we don't all do every single thing. We are all members individually of a larger body. And so each of us, we've got different gifts. We've got different talents. And one of the greatest enemies of the anointing is trying to mimic someone else. One of the greatest enemies of the anointing is trying to mimic someone else's flow. It's just not going to happen. The people will sense it, whether it's the people in the church, your family will sense it when they say, you know what, Mom, you're just not good at that. Dad, you just aren't good at that. You know, Mom is better than you at that. That's okay. Now, it's not to say there aren't times when the Holy Spirit can come upon you to do it if Mom's gone. All right? But y'all haven't seen me do Brianna's hair. Okay? Now, there was one time I did it real good. Mom was gone. But I tried to do it again, and it was a failure. Mom was there this time. But I said, I'm going to do it. I can do it. I just don't flow in that vein. That's not to say that there's never a moment where the Spirit of God can't come upon me and I can do it well. It's not to say that there's not a moment when the Spirit of God can come upon me and I prophesy, but I'm not a prophet. So it's good and it's great. We enjoy the times that the Spirit of God comes upon us, rises up in us, right? Because in the Old Testament, he came upon people. Now, New Testament, he's on the inside of us. He rises up out of us. But then it's also important to understand what assignment, what role, what position you're anointed for. And so we don't want to be an enemy of the anointing, trying to mimic someone else's either ministry flow or organic talent. That's the one of the biggest enemies of the anointing. And so, what's been in my spirit is we need to make sure in this time and in this season that we're really in tune with God. We're listening to God as to where God wants us to be. And God wants us to get to the point where we're doing exactly what he called us to do. Where we are exactly where he wants us to be. And when we reach that point, you will see yourself operating at an extremely high level because you are anointed to do it. One of the greatest benefits of being able to be a parent is it says in Psalms that your children are like arrows, and you, like a warrior, you fire those arrows off and you destroy the works of the enemy. And so being able to direct your children into their God-given assignment. Being able to direct your children into what they're anointed to do. Being able to get them to recognize their gift. Being able to get them to recognize their talent. Being able to get them to recognize what they're anointed to do. And keeping them from trying to mimic their friends. Keeping them from trying to mimic how everyone else did it. If every one of their friends is going into the military, keeping them from trying to mimic them from going into the military just because everybody else is. If all their friends are going to college, keeping them from trying to mimic going to college just because everybody else is going to college. It's being able to direct them and point them to their God-given destiny and getting them aligned and positioned and find out and to discover what they're anointed to do. And I'm learning that you can do this even at infancy stage, to be listening to God and watching them and listening to the Spirit at the same time and saying, God, what have you called them to do? And then hearing from God and directing them solely to that one goal and pushing out everything else that does not align with that assignment, that does not align with that anointing. And when they enter in to that role, when they enter in that anointing, they will find prosperity. They will find life in that life more abundantly. Because with the anointing comes all the things the Gentiles seek after. So in this time and in this season, we need to be very, very prayerful about, am I in the right place? Or do some adjustments need to be made? As leaders, if you're a team leader, if you're a department leader, you're a leader in your family. You may have a leadership position at your company. Being able to hear from the Spirit of God as to where to position people and how to position people, and being able to recognize people's gifts and talents and what they are anointed to do and what they're not anointed to do, and being able to get them to see that. So it's not you saying, no, you can't do this. But it's getting them to understand that God has anointed you to do a specific thing, and let's get you into the best place that God has for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I just lift right now every person under the sound of my voice and those who might hear later. Father, we receive your positioning. We receive your aligning, Father. We receive that assignment, Father, and we are open to you directing us to the place that you have for us. Father, I pray that where some people have not had clarity on their assignment, Father, that you provide that clarity. Anything that has tried to hinder people from going to that next level, from going to that next phase, from growing and prospering in the thing that you sent them to, the way that you intended, Father, that's broken, Father, and that they are released and positioned into the right places and to the assignments that you have for them, Father. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Richard.
God knows what he's doing. How many of you know that the government is not anointed to run your life? How many of you know that the church is anointed to have dominion in the earth? Okay? Based on what Brian just taught. Now, I promise you, we did not get together on this. The government is in the wrong place. The church has been in the wrong place, but now it's time to rise up. The church has been anointed to rule and establish the kingdom in the earth. The issues of sin, now the things that have held the church back have been deceptions, because from the time that Jesus was raised from the dead, the situation has been the same. The qualifications have been the same. Everything, what Jesus did when he rose from the dead, nothing has gotten better. It has not been increasing. And I hope I can explain to you what I'm trying to explain. It was all done. It was all finished. It was complete on the cross, in the grave, and in the resurrection. Nothing else needed to be, okay, well, you know, in another 100 years, this will take care of, you know, this will get better, and this will get better, and this will get better. No. The things that we know that Pastor Jim has been teaching and pouring into us, the things that we read in Identification, the Spiritual Authority, all those books, everything that we have learned, none of it is new. It's all 2,000 years old. It was done when Jesus was resurrected. So why has the church, and how has the church gotten into the place and the world gotten into the place that it is? It's because deception and not walking in the anointing that God gave to the church. Okay? All through the from, what was it, 33 A.D. or B.C. or whatever, whenever that was. And I know there's all kind of different ideas about that. But whenever that started and Peter stepped out and he gave his message and 3,000 people were added to the church started right then, and then it grew up, and then somehow or another, it has dwindled down to just a religion, okay? That's not the way it was supposed to be. Not the way it was supposed to be. The anointing is still there. What Jesus commissioned the church to do and to be, and I'm here to tell you, we are the church. You are the church, okay? Just not this building. So we, either collectively or individually, are anointed to do a job. Now, Brian was a little more microscopic, I guess, in his, you know, he brought it down into individuals and roles and stuff like that. Well, I'm taking it up to the next level. The role of the church is to establish the kingdom. So we each do that. We all are anointed to do that because that is a command. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That wasn't a, some are called to seek first the kingdom, some are not called. No, we are all called. So it's time. We know the truth. We've been taught the truth. We're still learning the truth. The truth sets us free, but now it's time to do something. Personal confession, I get very, very irritated anymore watching the news, even reading Facebook. Somehow or another, I got a couple of, Facebook sites, Western journalism or something. There's all kind of conservative and liberal, news things that they have, you know, that somehow or another they got on my page or I see them on my news feed. And I just, when I start reading them, I get very irritated. I get mad because of the deception and the trash that is going on in our country. And I have to tell you that Brother Mario, during Mac, he stirred me up, or God stirred me up and used him. And it's time to rise up, church. It's time to rise up. The issues of sin and sickness and poverty have been dealt with, and they have been dealt with for 2,000 years, or 2,015 years now, or however you want to do it. We know we are spirit beings, right? Do you know that? Did you learn that? We have been reconnected to God through the work that Jesus did. We are sons of the Most High God. We know that. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price. He took the punishment. He took the judgment. He took the wrath of the Father. He took the penalty of sin completely. It's all paid for. It's done. That should not be an issue anymore. Salvation is complete, and we should know that as long as we are in Jesus and he is in us, we have everything he has, and we are just like him right now in this time and in this dispensation. We are one with God. Do you believe that? You can wrap your, if you can't get your mind around it, at least it's an affirmation in your spirit that we are one with God. Okay? Jesus did not think that it was robbery to be called or to consider himself one with God, so we shouldn't either. We are one with God because of what Jesus, our Redeemer, did. What was given to Jesus has been given to us. Receive it, and let's get on with the plan. Okay? Quit trying to fight it. Receive what Jesus gave to us, gave to you, and then let's do something with it. We know enough to go into the world and start using the authority that was given to us to use. Show up at your job with a consciousness that you are the light and that darkness knows when you step on the property. Have that going in your little head. Okay, darkness knows I'm here because I am the light of the world. Jesus said, we are the light. You are the light. All of you are the light. Okay? It's not a, well, maybe someday I'll be light. No, he said you are the light if you are in him because he is the light. You have the consciousness that you are the light and darkness can't stand or even exist there. I don't care how hard you try. You go into a dark, pitch dark room, you turn on a light, that darkness leaves. It can't stay. So that's not a hard thing to do, okay? You show up as light, the darkness has to leave. We can do that, right? Okay, good. Show up at the grocery store with the understanding that while you are there, the kingdom of God has come and evil and unrighteousness can't operate. If you have to say that, say it. This store, the HEB, is now the kingdom of God, and darkness and evil and unrighteousness, violence and theft, and cannot stay here, cannot operate while I am here. We may not have the power to change some circumstances or situation, but we have the authority to release God's power, and his power is more than enough to change every circumstance and situation. Okay? Our authority in Christ is greater than all the power of the enemy. Have you ever heard that? Jesus said, all power has been given to me, all power and or all authority in heaven and earth. And another place that says that over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Okay? So our authority in Christ is greater, so it's time for us to start acting like it. Okay? I'm encouraging you. I'm not fussing at you. I'm encouraging you. It's time to move. It's time to walk in that anointing of the church of the living God. For too long it has been, don't get the devil riled up. He'll get you. The world has been filled with the images from Hollywood of the power of devils and demons. How many? There's thousands, I bet, thousands of movies that has demons and all kind of ugliest things and crawling on the ceiling upside down, and yeah, and that's an agenda. Yeah. It gets into people's mind and they think that stuff. Well, it could be. It really could happen. It could happen. And it probably could. But we have power over that. But the people, in general, have had their brains washed. They've been deceived that, oh, that's so scary. I don't want to ever come in contact with the devil. But it's a lie. Okay? The devil has no power. The word says the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So something's got to change. instead of being filled with the knowledge of the power of the devil, we've got to switch it around and start filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Okay, that ain't going to happen by itself. So something's got to change, and somebody has to change it. Our authority is over all his power, so he can't do anything but make loud noises, and we can even shut that up. Because we have power or authority over his power. If someone offers a bad scenario or outcome about anything, immediately stop it and say, no, that will not happen. Or no, that is not the way it is. It's time to be bold, people. It's time to speak the truth. The word addresses all things, so we must all be diligent in learning the word so that we can replace the bad words with God's word. We have to know, okay, there's a situation going on over here at work. Okay, the Holy Spirit will let me know. If I know the word, he will let me know what word I need to speak in that situation to change that. Okay, so we need to be diligent in learning the word, even though we have plenty. We have access to plenty to go out and change the world. There is still an ongoing learning that we need to do. Okay? We know what is right and what we have and whose we are and who we are. Okay? We know that we've been given all authority. We know we have all the power that God gave to Jesus because of his triumph. We know that we are in Christ. And we know that we are sons of the Most High God. That's enough. That's enough. We're there. It's time to move. Okay? It's time to start using that knowledge to change the world around us. For too long, we have let things slide. And look at the mess we've got into. Things that we know are wrong and against God's righteousness. We know they're wrong, but they're there anyway. How'd they get there? Because we know they're wrong. That's because the church has not been walking in its anointing that Brian talked about. Okay? Now we have some ground to take back and some issues that need to be reversed. It's not just a matter of going out and say, okay, from now on, this is the way it is. No, we've got to cancel some things. We've got to fight against some things. And when I say fight, I don't mean that we have to go, and go out and battle. But we do have to make some assertions. We have to assert ourselves to reverse some of those things. And you know what I'm talking about, the gay marriage rulings. The all kind of stuff. All those things that you see on Facebook that make me aggravated. They got to go. It is time to stop the darkness which hides deception, lies, manipulation, and every evil work. It's time to stop that stuff. It's time to stop and expose those that perpetrate hate, division, evil, and unfairness against the people. Even the people who are not yet in the church, somebody's got to be looking out for them, and it's not the government's job, okay? It's the church's job. You are the church. It's our job. It's time to uncover the craftiness and sin that is a reproach to the people. And it's time to establish righteousness so that our nation can be exalted again. You know the scripture, righteousness exalts the nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. Well, right now I see America as is reproached. Our nation is a reproach because of the sin that has been allowed, and now it's time for righteousness to rise. We have the authority, we have the grace. We have the word, now let's move on it. Okay? Are you with me? it's time to move on it. I gave you a couple of ideas. You show up as light, consciously, thinking, I am the light, darkness has to flee. If you need to say that, say it. You walk into a situation, this is the kingdom of God. If you need to say that, say it. We did that, and I know I said this many times, but when Mama Jo and I were working at the flea market before Pastor rescued us, every Saturday and Sunday morning we would go and we would open up the booth that we were working at out there, and we would get there maybe 10, 15 minutes before time we were supposed to be there. We would open it up, get everything turned on, and then we would walk around the perimeter of that store proclaiming and declaring that it was the kingdom of God, and that because we were having when we first started there was a lot of stealing, people, you know, just putting stuff in their pockets and walking out. We sold mostly tools and a lot of little things and, you know, tool belts and stuff like that. Stuff was leaving and wasn't getting paid for. So to the point that the owner even hired a security guy just to stand across the walkway there so that he could keep an eye on stuff. But when we started working there, we started proclaiming and declaring, this is the kingdom of God and evil can't work here. There's a retail term for stuff leaving out the door is not paid for. I don't know what it is. Shrinkage, that's what it is. Our shrinkage went way down so that we didn't need that security guy anymore because people were just, they weren't stealing from us anymore. So you can do that. You can establish. If you haven't done that at your home, I would suggest doing that. Not out of fear, but establishing, okay, this is the way it is going to be. And if you need to, take communion. I have no problem. I take communion out standing on the corner. I will do that to establish kingdom. Okay, what else can we do? Well, we have all been anointed to pray. Scripture says that we should pray for our leaders. Pray for those that are in charge. That's the least that we can do, is start to pray. Pray for, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We've already established that we are righteous. How many times have we heard that from this pulpit? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you believe that? Then your prayer affects much, avails much. So, get praying. Let the Spirit direct you as to when and where and how, but begin to invoke and entreat the presence of God to start filling the schools, city hall, the county courts, and the state capitol. Anywhere and everywhere that laws, policy, ordinances, or judgments are made need to be covered by prayer so that truth, justice, equity, integrity, morality, and righteousness are the deciding factors, and hidden agendas and manipulation, lies, deception, and works of evil have no place there. Now, that's a mouthful, but we have that right. We have that anointing to do that. Then begin to pray for those who are elected and appointed to make laws and ordinances so that they would come to the true knowledge of God and a relationship with Him. Yes, you can pray for the mayor to get saved. You can pray for the whole city council to get saved. I know a couple of them go to church, but I don't know what their personal relationship is with God, but if they're not saved, they can get saved. But it starts with prayer. Take authority over every work of darkness and evil throughout the city. Make a declaration. Pastor decrees every time he gets to a high spot that overlooks the city, he makes declaration. Get that declaration. And start saying that if you can't think of anything else to declare. Make declaration that theft, murders, lawlessness, violence, sexual perversion, and all other sorts of ungodliness must cease and desist in the city, in the county, and in the state, and in our nation. So, well, that's a big order. We have been anointed. We have been anointed, and yes, we have a big God. Pray for the people that darkness and blindness are removed from their hearts and eyes so that they may see the goodness of God and move toward Him and the truth of the gospel of Jesus. You can pray along these lines. Then, once you have established prayer, start going out into the city. Get out of your little safe home, out of this safe environment right here, and let's start going out into the city and being led by the Spirit. Take authority over the darkness and evil. Shine the light of God everywhere you go. Scripture says that we are the fragrance of His presence everywhere. Well, if the only everywhere you are is at home and in church, not many people are going to smell you. Okay? We need to get out and take some, spread some love, spread some aroma. Okay? If you are led, go to the city council meetings and pray quietly while the meeting is being conducted, stopping the darkness from influence. Just your presence there can change the atmosphere of the room. And it should. You should expect it to change the atmosphere of the room. Go to school board meetings. Go to the legislative sessions at the Capitol and do the same. You can go into the gallery of the Senate House and the House of Representatives, and you can stay there as long as you want to. It holds about 400 people. If we fill that up with the church, what could be done in the state? Okay? What kind of influence can we make? Run the darkness out of there. Go to other civic functions, not as protesters, but as a thermostat to change the direction from unrighteousness to righteousness. Verbally establish the kingdom of God and put the works of darkness on notice that they cannot operate on that property any longer. As I said, take communion with you and establish the perimeter for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. You may not be called to be a city council member or a school board member or a congressman, but you can show up and have influence. Spheres of influence. Okay? We don't have to run the thing, but our influence can have the same effect. Okay? We can influence the decisions that are made. Let's do something with what we know and with what we have been given. Let's do something. Now is the time to rise up. Amen. Now is the time to step out. We can pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have called us for such a time as this. We thank You that You have anointed us for such a time as this, Father God. And as Your church, I thank You, Lord, that You have equipped us to make a difference in the earth, to rule and reign, to have dominion over every situation, of every circumstance, to bring glory and honor to Your name so that the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of Your glory, Father. I thank You that these people that are here tonight, Father God, that You have already equipped us with the knowledge. You've equipped us with wisdom. You've equipped us with the ability and the authority to change our world, to change our nation, our state, our county, our city, and our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities. Father God, I thank You that as we go forth, that we step out knowing that You are greater than anything that could be against us, that because you live inside of us, there is nothing that is too hard for us. There is nothing that is impossible for us because of your anointing, because of your life, because of the resurrection life that flows in us. We are able to do things for your kingdom because you have declared it from the beginning. Father, I thank you that all of us here tonight, we begin to rise up. Father, we begin to pray that we take authority, not begging and pleading that you would do something, but Father, we stand up and we take authority over every situation, including our governments on all levels, the officials who work those governments, and that everything is done according to your will, plan, and purpose, so that on the earth, your will is done, just as you have decreed and declared in your will in heaven. We bring your throne room down to this earth, and we allow your spirit to have control of our spirits, to be one with you, and we yield to your lordship, to be used in the earth in whatever capacity you have for us, in whatever area or arena that you have placed us in, that we rise up with boldness, that we rise up and that we establish your kingdom in the earth for your glory, for your praise, that you would be exalted. We thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are anointed of God to go forth and change the earth, change the world that you're in. Amen. Amen. Amen.